God has given us this wonderful Christ to meet our every need. Actually, to fulfill God's purpose. God is wonderful and God is so great. And the Bible tells us that when God created man, he really had a great purpose with us. Without man, just consider it today. If there are no human beings on this earth, who is going to take care of this earth? Who is going to take care of this earth? There won't be anybody. You expect the monkeys to rule over the earth? The planet of the apes? It's not going to work. No, it definitely will not work. The dogs and cats and none of the animals is qualified to rule over this earth. So you can see that when God created man, before he created man, he said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So man is created in a very, very special way and for a very special purpose, that man should rule over God's creation. This is our destiny, actually. This is our destiny. Can you imagine if there are no human beings in California, who's going to rule over California? There won't be anyone. You don't expect a dog or the dog to rule over California. They won't be able to do that. No animals, no creatures are made to rule except us. That is why God created man. He says, let them have dominion over all the creation of his hands that God has created, and especially to rule over the creeping things. And you know the creep.
Yes.
You know who that creep is? That creep is a serpent. The devil. The serpent. That old serpent. And Revelation tells us in chapter 12, meanwhile, he became the great red dragon. Full of blood. Right? The red color is not very good. Look at it. 7,000, 6,000 years of mankind full of killing, wars. Right? He is known as the murderer from the very beginning. Right? So, we are supposed to take care of him, get rid of him, and to take the rule out of his hands. When reading the New Testament, you should realize that the Lord called Satan the prince of this world. There is a reason why the Lord called him that. Because the pre-Adamic world was given to him to rule before he fell. So he was known as the prince of this world. So, God will not deal with him directly. God wants us to deal with him. And that is why man, humanity, is so important in God's purpose. And this is why the devil wants to destroy mankind. From day one, when God created Adam and Eve, immediately the serpent crept in to deceive mankind. And sin entered, and through sin, death entered. And today, man, also created to rule, look how we rule in this earth today, full of corruption, full of unrighteousness, full of problems, wars, rumors of wars, and never-ending wars. You look at the history of this world, the history of mankind is a history of war in every culture. In Europe, in Africa, in Asia, China, It's war and more wars. Then you have the First World War. Then you have the Second World War. And man is the only one who can invent weapons of mass destruction, ready to just annihilate everything. There is enough weapons on this earth today to destroy this planet. So, fallen humanity cannot rule. That's why we're waiting for the Lord to come back to set up his kingdom on this earth. The Bible talks about when the Lord comes back, there will be his kingdom of peace and righteousness, and he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. This is what the Bible tells us, especially in the book of Revelation. And we are waiting for the Lord's coming. And the Lord said, the faithful ones, the overcoming ones, will rule with him on this earth. Let me just read to you Revelation chapter 20, for example, at the very end. Revelation chapter 20, it's easy for everybody to find, right? Here. The devil, Satan, will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Right, verse 20, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Why? Because the Lord is going to rule and reign here on this earth with the faithful believers and the overcoming ones for 1,000 years. That doesn't mean that he's just going to rule for 1,000 years. But this 1,000 years is prepared by God as a reward for the faithful believers. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So you can see that this millennial kingdom is not yet the eternity, the age of eternity, not yet. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, that's the last 3.5 years, or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So you can see that this 1,000 years of millennial kingdom is a time of reward for the faithful ones. It's not for everybody. If I'm a believer today and I'm not faithful to the Lord, although I'm saved, still I'm not qualified to rule and reign with him in this 1,000 years. But those who are beheaded for the witness of Jesus, right, who had not worshipped the beast, that means they had gone through the 3.5 years. And of course, before this, God also promised all those overcoming ones and the first fruits, they will be ruling with Christ together. Right. So, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, meaning to say the unbelievers, they did not live again. No resurrection for the unbelieving ones. Until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Only God's people will partake of the first resurrection. Then he says, blessed and holy is he who has part in this first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this is the millennial kingdom that the Lord has promised. That's why in this conference we're talking about the faithful sons of Zadok. Don't underestimate and don't look down on the matter of being faithful to the Lord today. The meeting before this one, we shared concerning those unfaithful servants. Not only they will not have part in the millennial kingdom, but they will receive some kind of a discipline from the Lord. Remember that those are also written in the Bible. But the faithful ones will be those who would be reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. This is a wonderful reward. So what do you prefer? You prefer to be the foolish virgins or the unfaithful servants? You prefer to be those who knew the will of the Lord and still didn't do it? The Lord says will be beaten with many stripes. Right. So, what do you all prefer? Make your choice. Right? The choice is yours. I believe that all of us, we are the wise and faithful ones, will choose the reward from the Lord. Amen. Salvation is not by works. So we are saved not because we are good, not because we are faithful. We are saved because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted His salvation work by faith. But reward is different. For the reward, you need to be faithful. If you're not faithful, you don't get away with it. Just like, maybe we all graduate, but you graduated cum laude. Right? Maybe not. But if you do, then, your grade is good. You get rewarded. You get a scholarship. You get to go to the best university. After you graduate, you get this, that, and that, blah, 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 right? So there is such a principle of reward. That's why the Lord says, "Behold, I cometh, and my reward with me." Yes. To reward everyone according to his works. So salvation is not by works. But the reward is different. So the Bible, the Word of God is very, very clear. We need to be sober when we come to read His Word. Don't mix them up together. No, if you mix them up, you will be in trouble. Miss the reward. You miss the reward. So, praise the Lord. Since we are talking about the faithful sons of Zadok, we have to know what it's all about. Now, why do I mention the humanity? Because in order to be faithful, we need the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Because our natural humanity is fallen. Really fallen. With such a fallen humanity, we go our own way. We are disobedient to the Lord, although we are saved. We still love the world. And many times we don't care for God's purpose. Really. And we cannot because of the fallen nature. Yes, you're saved. Saved meaning to say, saved from eternal judgment. That you're saved. Because the Lord paid your debt for you on the cross. The Lord bore your judgment. God had put all our sins upon Him. He is our sin offering. But that doesn't mean that you're okay in your daily living. Your mind is still terrible. You think a lot of terrible things in your mind. There's still much darkness. Our heart still desires to do a lot of evil, sinful things and outrageous. Right. We cause so much trouble and we are not capable to please God. So, last night we saw in Leviticus, the Lord came to this earth. Not in the first place there to be our sin offering, but to be our burnt offering. Because you're created to be for God, but yet you're not for God. And so we as a fallen human being, we are not capable to fulfill God's will. So the Lord Jesus came as such a wonderful Son of God and Son of Man, perfect to fulfill God's plan. He was the only one who is really absolute for God. His whole life was for God. Yes, wonderful. No wonder the Father declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." As I am standing before God, you think God would say to me, "Oh, that is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Do you think God will say that to you? No. You think God will say that to any of us? No. No, no. But praise God, there is a man who came. And he was well pleasing to God. You know, the Lord said one prayer one time. He says, "Father, I know that you would answer my prayer because I do always the things that are pleasing to you." Amen. How about we? Do we always do the things that will please? I think we always do the things that made him sad. Unfortunately, we quarrel, we fight, we're proud, we're sinful, we are... You name it, we did it. That is what happened. But praise God, Christ became our burnt offering, and we can lay our hands on him.
Amen.
And we can enjoy him and experience him as one who is absolutely for God.
Amen.
Without him, you and I cannot be absolute for God. So the Lord came to fulfill that. Without him, none in the history of mankind could be used by God to fulfill his purpose. So praise God. Such an obedient one, obedient unto death on a cross. This is really wonderful. So we really need to appreciate that. Lord, you are now my life, in me to live a life that is absolutely for God. And more, when the Lord grows in us, the more we will be for his purpose. That's the only way. Without him, none of us can be for God. Now, but what you get from the burnt offering is the skin of the burnt offering. When you bring an ox, you get a skin. And that skin, as we have seen in the Bible, is a type of Christ being our robe of righteousness. We can put him on. So when you're baptized, praise the Lord, you're baptized into Christ and you put on Christ. That's really good. But that's not adequate. That's why we need the second offering. The second offering in Leviticus, let us turn now to Leviticus, is a meal offering. The fine flour, the meal offering. It's called a grain offering. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons and the priests, and one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil. Oil is a type of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. With all the frankincense, in the Bible, frankincense signifies the resurrection power of Christ. And the priest shall burn this portion as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, the rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. Now, you see, if you bring the first, the meal offering, the fine flour, God only wants a handful of it. The rest, the food for the priests, for the priest to eat. It's different than a burnt offering. The burnt offering is everything is for God, every part except the skin. Now, the second offering, only a small portion, a handful, is for God, and the rest is for you to eat. Because Christ, as the bread from heaven, he said, he is the bread from heaven. It's for us to live, to eat, so that when we eat him in John chapter 6, we can live by him. And this fine flour here, as the meal offering, signifies the fine humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ to replace our humanity. My humanity is full of corruption, incapable of carrying out God's purpose, even if I want to. So, God gave me a special food from heaven. The Lord says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. If you eat me, the Lord said, you shall live by me. Amen. So the way to live by the Lord Jesus Christ is to learn to eat him. You need to eat him because he is the bread that came down from heaven. What kind of bread? It is described here in Leviticus chapter 2. If you are interested in this bread from heaven, you need to go to the recipe of this heavenly recipe in chapter 2 of Leviticus. You see, right? So without Leviticus chapter 2, you will not know what kind of a humanity the Lord is. Right? And then if you bring, let's say, for example, verse 4, if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in oven, it shall be, firstly, unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Now, according to the law of the meal offering in chapter 7 of Leviticus, no leaven can be offered up to God. And leaven signifies, in the Bible, sin. There are many kinds of leaven. You have sinful, malice, wickedness, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, is leaven. And the Lord says, the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaven. And the leaven of Herod, which is politics and hypocrisy. In Galatians chapter 5, you have the circumcision and uncircumcision. That's a religious leaven. So many different kinds of terrible leaven. The only one that is without sin and without any leaven and mixture is the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. He is the only one without sin. And his humanity is perfect. All the virtues is in him. Perfect. Wonderful humanity. Our humanity is full of corruption. Cannot withstand any temptation. When the Lord was on this earth, he was tempted by Satan. You remember the temptation? John, Matthew chapter 4, for example. He was tempted. Firstly, the stomach. Because he was 40 days there in the wilderness, eating nothing, fasting, spending time before the Lord's presence. So the first temptation the devil gave him is, if you were the Son of God, if you're truly the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. Suppose you are very, very hungry and you have the power to turn stones into bread, and somebody tells you, hey, well, prove to me, since you are the Son of God, right? Turn this microphone into bread. I think even if you don't want to, your stomach will tell you, hey, do it quickly. I'm hungry. But the Lord didn't do it. First of all, because he didn't come just to be Son of God. He came as a man. If he did that, the devil would say, of course you defeat me because you're God. You're such God. But the Lord didn't do it. What does the Lord answer? The Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because God wants a man to defeat Satan. It's so easy for God to defeat that little devil. That's it, and that's it. That's the end. Just like you're fighting against an ant. Can you imagine an ant want to declare war with you? What are you going to do with an ant declaring war with, especially with him? Maybe the ant will say, oh yeah, maybe I can defeat John, but you cannot defeat Achim. You want to defeat Achim? Achim, that's it. You don't even have to exert much pressure. You don't even have to bang on it. For God to defeat the devil is so easy. But that is not a point. God wants you and me, man, humanity, to defeat the devil. That's why mankind is very important. And that's why the devil wants to corrupt humanity, to make humanity like him. And he did it. And what about giving you all the glory? Can you withstand all the glory? Apple will say, I'll make you the CEO and you can make $12 million a year. Can you resist that? I don't think you can resist that. I don't think anyone could resist that. And so the devil took the Lord there to the pinnacle and showed him all the glories in the world. We cannot resist. No one could resist that. But the Lord resisted him. So you can see the Lord overcame Satan. The Lord was tempted in so many ways, went through so much difficulties and persecution, and he stood firm for God. Praise the Lord. He went through all kinds of suffering, just like this fine flour kneaded and baked to be a cake. Do you want to be baked? You want to stand under the sun and have sunburn, but you don't want to be baked in the oven, right?
We need to take your mic real quick.
What happened?
It's not working.
It's not working. Doesn't matter. As long as you hear it, that's good.
There's like 9 viewers on the live stream.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Now it's on.
It was not on. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Switch it on.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So, our humanity can never defeat Satan, can never fulfill God's purpose. Just a little offense, you're already gone. Now, today we say, praise the Lord for the church, and then all of a sudden, I offended you. Forget it. You don't see me anymore. That's you're gone. But the Lord lived on this earth for 33 and a half years since the day he was born. Herod wanted to kill him. Nobody wanted to kill you when you were born, did they? Right from the very beginning, Herod wanted to kill him. They had escaped Egypt.
John.
Oh. Somebody was calling you.
Siri has a question.
Yes. No problem. It's good. It wakes us all up. So, can you imagine the Lord is like you and me? Oh, I came here, I'm the Son of God, coming down here to save you, and you want to kill me? Forget it. Goodbye. I go back to where I come from. And where will salvation be? You could not offend him because he came faithfully to fulfill God's will. And his humanity is as such he could take anything. What a wonderful humanity, full of mercy. You know, are we merciful? We are not merciful. No. Are we humble? Is there any humility in us? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's why we Christians are fighting each other. Division upon division. You go your way, I go my way. You don't agree with me, tomorrow I go and build my own group. But the Lord, when he was on this earth, look at his humanity, full of patience, humble. People want to make him king, and he just disappeared. He didn't want to be king. He didn't, although he was, and he was the king. But his first coming is not to rule like his second coming. His first coming is lowly to accomplish salvation, to fulfill God's plan. So you want to make him king? No, he disappeared. Suppose U.S. wants to make you the president of the United States. How about that, Iman? President Iman.
I don't think I'd be a good
Well, it would be very hard for us to really resist. Right? Very difficult. And look at the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So full of patience. You remember that woman in John 8 caught in adultery? Everybody else wanted to condemn her, but the Lord did not condemn her. And he's the only one who is qualified to condemn her. And he didn't. We are not qualified to condemn anybody, and yet we condemned everybody all the time. You condemn me and I condemn you. But the Lord was the only one who is qualified to condemn that woman caught in adultery, and yet he did not. Prove he did. He's the only qualified one because he says, whoever among you is without sin, pick up the first stone and stone. They all left. And the only one who didn't leave is the Lord. Because he's the only one without sin, so he's the only one who's qualified to pick up a stone, to stone her to death, according to the law of Moses. But he's also God who can forgive sins.
Amen.
And he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. But we don't have such humanity. Even people are not wrong, we still condemn them. Yeah, really. Many times we condemn wrongly, or we condemn somebody who is innocent. We like to condemn everybody except yourself. Yeah. You like to condemn yourself? No, you like to condemn everybody else except yourself. But our Lord has a different humanity. So wonderful. Look at the four Gospels written concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. What a perfect human. Finally, in front of Pontius Pilate, being condemned by everybody, Pontius Pilate says, I don't see anything wrong with this man. Even the unrighteous Pontius Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with that man. And he said, what a man. What a man. And the Lord, while being condemned, you think he couldn't defend himself? Suppose you were innocent and somebody condemns you, what are you going to do? Keep quiet? Just let him condemn you?
No.
No, probably not. No, you will have a lot of say. You will really have a lot of say.
Speak up.
But the Lord didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. You think that was easy? That was not easy in the church life. If somebody wrongly accused you, boy, you're going to blow your top. You're going to defend yourself to the teeth. You will fight. Why not just take it and bear the cross? We cannot do that. That is not in our nature. I don't have that gene. Something was missing there. So, wrong humanity, fallen humanity, we are not capable. That is why the Lord came as the second offering to replace your humanity as food for you to eat. Sin is not in him. There is no leaven. He was fully mingled with the Holy Spirit. Even his birth and conception in the Virgin Mary, the angel said, her conception was of the Holy Spirit. We are all the seed of man. We are all born from the union between a man and a woman. So sin came down as a hereditary from Adam, from the seed of man. So that's why we're all born in sin. But the Lord is the only seed of woman in Genesis chapter 3. Because he was born of a virgin. So the hereditary sinful nature didn't pass on to him. That is why the angel told Mary and told Joseph, that which was born in her, the Holy One which was born in her, is the Son of God.
Amen.
He was called the Holy One. I was born as a sinful one. We were all born as a sinful one. That's what David says. I was born in sin, already in my mother's womb. Psalm 51. Go and read it. But the Lord was the only one who is not born in sin. That's why sin is not in him.
Yes.
And although he was tempted in all ways and aspect as we are, Hebrews says, yet he did no sin. This is such a wonderful person without leaven. You don't find any leaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the frankincense, the power to overcome death, because sin is not in him, so death is not in him. And the Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. So if you ask me, oh, what is resurrection? If I ask you today, what is resurrection? Well, how are you going to answer? Oh, the resurrection is if somebody died, he rose again. Right? What is resurrection?
The Lord Jesus.
For us, resurrection, according to the Webster dictionary, or according to the e-dictionary, is somebody who rose from the dead. But the Lord says, I am. He is resurrection. Death has nothing to do with him. Not only death has nothing to do with him, he is resurrection. That's why when he said, Lazarus, come forth. That dead man who already was disintegrating, he walked out. He came out of the grave. How wonderful it is. What a wonderful humanity, and that's the humanity the Lord wants to give you.
Amen.
Do you want to take it?
Yes.
Or do you prefer to live in your rotten, corruptible, sinful, evil, leavened humanity? Which humanity do you prefer? How are you going to get it? Eat him.
Yes.
That's the food. And if we don't eat him, you cannot live by him. Let's turn to John 6. That's why you need to know the recipe in Leviticus chapter 2 to know how this bread from heaven is baked in the heavenly bakery. It's the heavenly victory. You know, very strange, isn't it wonderful? The Lord is so wise, because before he talks about him being the bread from heaven, he performed a wonderful miracle. He fed 10,000 people here, or how many people, with bread. And so, wow, everybody says, I'm satisfied, I better come back to this man, because we can get free bread. Yeah, you know, everybody likes a free meal, right? Praise the Lord. The Lord fed everybody with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is God's wisdom. So the next day they came again expecting to have another bite of this bread here. And the Lord told them, no, that's not the real bread I want to give you. I want to give you a different kind of bread, baked somewhere else. I am the bread from heaven.
Amen.
And if you eat of this bread, you will not die. You will have eternal life.
Yes.
They said, wow, let's try that. Give us this bread. The Lord says, eat my flesh. My flesh is the real meat, the real bread. Eat me. I am the bread from heaven. What happened? They all left. They said, we're not cannibals. This man wants to give himself as bread for us to eat. They didn't know God's will. They didn't understand. But this was already written long before in Leviticus. That meal offering, that fine flour, unleavened, pure, salted. Yes. No leaven, no honey. There are 2 things there, no leaven, no honey. And there are 2 positive ingredients, which is oil, the Holy Spirit, and frankincense, plus the salt of the covenant. Eh? That's how it's baked. You know the recipe. No leaven, no honey. You have to be an expert priest. Otherwise you'd be, what are you going to do? How are you going to eat this humanity? We have the Lord's table all the time here, eating. What kind of bread are you eating? You should have an inner realization, Lord, I'm eating this unleavened bread.
Amen.
You remember when people of Israel left Egypt? Mm-hmm. They not only ate the Passover lamb, but that feast is also called the feast of the unleavened bread. The lamb, they only ate that day when they leave, but they have to eat unleavened bread for 1 whole week. And so that feast, the Passover feast, is also known as the feast of the unleavened bread. God's people should be a people eating the unleavened bread all the time. So, are we eating such a food, or are we not eating such a food? No wonder we Christians are always feeling weak. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, why? I'm weak. Oh, I'm sinful. Oh, I'm this. And I'm just weak. Why are you weak? So, you Lord, strengthen me. The Lord says, no, I don't need to strengthen me. Eat me, then you'll be all right. Of course, if you don't eat for a week, you're going to be weak. So instead of praying, the Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will say, hey, that's not the right way. You eat me. Then you'll be strengthened. And you will live by me. But he said, no, Lord, strengthen me. Oh, Lord, strengthen me. The Lord says, well, it's on the table. Eat me. You don't want to eat. You just want a miracle. Lord, strengthen me. The Lord will tell, how am I going to strengthen you? I provide the meal offering. There's the unleavened cake there.
Yes.
Eat. He said, no, Lord, strengthen. You think the Lord is going to perform a miracle to strengthen you? No, because the normal way is to eat. If you ask the doctor to heal you, the doctor says, take the medicine. No, doctor, heal me. Take the medication. Doctor. That's the way to strengthen you, but you won't take it. What do you expect God to do? God says, I already gave you the wonderful meal offering. There is this wonderful bread that I baked from heaven. And it came down from heaven so that you will eat him and live by him. And you don't want to take that and you complain that you're weak. You don't take God's way. There won't be any other way for you. There won't be any other way. You ask the Lord to save you. Okay, then believe in him. He says, no, Lord, I don't want to believe. I want you to save me. He says, yeah, that's the way to save me. No, Lord, save me. How else is God going to save you? There is such a thing as meal offering. The fine humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is the food for you. Amen. You know why in a church life we have, among Christians, fighting all the time, dividing all the time, so many problems? The problem is because of our humanity. Why is there a problem in marriage? Wrong humanity. Incompatible. Right? And fighting all the time. Unreasonable many times. It's just unreasonable. Right? No patience. No understanding. And I insist my way. And she insists and her way. And at the end, it doesn't work. Nothing works. So, the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is food. If you don't take that, I'm afraid there is no other way. There is no other way. That's why I really praise the Lord, because in the church life we all learn to eat him. Yes. A lot of people were surprised coming to the church. What do you do here? We eat. You know, Christians like to study. Bible study. Sometimes I jokingly said, we don't have a Bible study time. We have a Bible eating time. We eat. What do you do with the Bible? We eat it. We eat the Word. All the prophets ate the Word. Ezekiel ate the Word. Jeremiah ate the Word. John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. In other words, the Lord says, take the roll and eat it. Well, you're going to do that? And John says, wow, it was sweet in my mouth, it was bitter in my stomach. Yeah. It works.
Very good.
The concept of eating. From the very beginning, God told Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life. So it's not a new concept.
It's ancient.
Right. Eating, and eating all the offerings. Eating the lamb. Eating the unleavened bread. Eating the manna from heaven in the wilderness. Eating all the time and eating the fruit of the good land.
Yes.
You have eating all the time. And then suddenly the Lord came and says, eat me. Well, it's not a new concept. They just didn't see that all this eating in the Old Testament is referring to eating Jesus. What do? You just believe in Jesus, but the Lord Jesus said, eat me. So, do you believe or eat? Eat it both.
Yes.
Believe him and eat. Okay. Because if you don't believe him, you can't eat him. But people believe but won't eat him. They like to see miracles. They like to see a lot of things, but they didn't want to eat him. You know, when I was young, I already sang that song. Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to sup with him. The Lord said, he comes in, he's going to eat with me. But nobody believes that. You sing it, but you don't believe it. Right. To him who overcomes, I'll give to eat of the tree of life. And to him who overcome, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. Isn't that good? And in the book of Revelation chapter 12, that woman fled to the wilderness. What was she doing in the wilderness? She's going to be nourished. For how long? 1,260 days, 3.5 years. 32 months. 40. Oh, how many months now? 42 months. There's so much about nourishment, eating and drinking. Ephesians 5, Christ loves the church by teaching,
nourishing.
Nourishing, cherish and nourish the church. Paul says, milk I gave you to eat, to drink, and not solid food because you're not able to bear. Even the apostles use such words. Peter says, as newborn babes, desiring the pure doctrine of the word. What does baby understand about doctrine? Desiring the pure milk of the word. The pure milk of the word. There's so many things in the scriptures about eating and drinking. And today what we need is the reality. Yes. Because without the reality, so the second offering is the meal offering. You must tell the Lord, Lord, I desire to eat you.
Amen.
You don't have to know. Oh, okay, show me the way to eat. The Lord didn't even explain. The Lord just says, hey. It is the Spirit that gives life. So if you begin to touch the Spirit in the Word, you're receiving, you're just taking in, because the Word of the Lord is Spirit and life. That's why the Word is called the Word of this life. And the Lord's name in Revelation chapter 19 is called the Word of God. So the word of God is not just about him. You are what? Iman. Iman is your name. So Iman is you. Because you're called Iman. Now, the Lord is called the Word of God. So when you come to the Word of God, who do you come to?
God.
You come to God. You come to the Lord himself. And that's why it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. In the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the living Word of God. Actually, very simple. So don't say we have a Bible study. So what do you have? What do you do there? We have a Bible eating session. No Bible study. We don't study, we eat it.
Amen.
We eat the Word. Right. So, don't say we have a Bible study. Would you like to come to a Bible study? No, would you like to come to a Bible eating session? We eat the Word of God. We eat the Lord Jesus. Right? So, praise the Lord for such a wonderful food. You have to think of this. Change your concept. To be one who eat the Lord Jesus. And the Lord promised, you eat me, you will live by me. Let us read John chapter 6. We are in John chapter 6. Yeah.
Beginning in verse 54. Let's just read verse 54, okay? Oh, 51 is okay. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he didn't say if anyone studies this bread, eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. My flesh to eat. Then let's jump, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. How wonderful. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Then he says, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father and by the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. But he who eats this bread will live forever. Then everybody says, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? And they all left him. Then, too bad, a lot of people left before they even listened to the Lord's explanation. At least you should ask the Lord, Lord, okay, explain further. But they couldn't take it, they left. So don't leave that easily. What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Meaning to say, he was going to be crucified and resurrected and ascend back to heaven. And after his ascension, he is going to send the Spirit during the day of Pentecost. And it is the Spirit that brings the reality of this bread to us for us to eat today. Then he explained further in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Now he's talking. Because he says, eat my flesh. People say, oh goodness, how can I take a bite of him? And how many bites can you take? How can this man give me his flesh to eat? Then all of a sudden the Lord says the flesh profits nothing. Meaning to say the reality of eating me as the bread of life is not taking a bite of this physical flesh. But after being crucified, accomplishing redemption, rising up from the dead and ascended, I will pour out the Spirit of life. And it is by this Spirit, through the living Word, we begin to eat the Lord Jesus, the taking. Without a Spirit, the Bible is dead, nothing. It's just a written Word. But with the Spirit, the Word of God becomes alive. This is why then the Lord continued to say, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. Now he says, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Now he connects the Word and the Spirit with his ascension and pouring out the Holy Spirit, the whole package. The loaf of bread is now ready for you to eat. But people got offended. You know, when people get offended, they don't listen anymore. They just take off. If you take off, you missed the bread. So, what are you going to do? Stick around a little bit, and you'll learn how to eat the Lord Jesus. Right? But, then he says, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who do not believe or did not believe, and even who would betray him. And so everybody left. From that time forth, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, only the 12 were there.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. I agree with you. At least 12 stayed.
Yeah. They stuck around.
They stuck around.
Yeah.
Jesus said to them, do you also want to go away? Why are you still around?
Good answer.
And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Yes.
You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
This is really wonderful.
Yeah.
What a mystery. You know, in order to touch the Lord, you need revelation.
Yes.
You need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just black and white.
Yeah.
It is just black and white. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right, may the Lord open our eyes to see the importance of the meal offering.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Ever since I realized such a meal offering in the Bible, and I was young then, I have a desire, Lord, I want to learn to really eat you. Whatever it takes, show me. Teach me how to eat your humanity. This fine flour mingled with oil, with frankincense, without leavened, and without honey. There's natural honey, sticky honey. It's sweet. You know, we can be quite sweet, but our sweetness is very sticky. And at the end, we're just stuck together, and it's a strange kind of a stickiness. Our Lord's love is pure. It's not corrupted. No hypocrisy. Right. So, there is certain natural sweetness in us that can cause corruption. That's why in this meal offering, there is no honey. Our Lord's relationship with everybody is very pure and clear. No other motives. Even that rich young man who came to the Lord Jesus, talked to the Lord, disagreed, he couldn't make it, he walked away. The Lord didn't say, wait, come. Ah. The Lord let him go. The Lord didn't want to attract him in any way other than the truth. You know, in the church life today, in this living testimony of the Lord, don't attract anyone by any sweetness. Sticky sweetness. Come in and you get stuck. You put your nose in the honeycomb and you get stuck in there. No. We have no need to attract anybody by any other means but by the truth and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And if a person comes into the church life with any other motive, one day he can also go away with any motive.
Yeah.
If he didn't get his motive, he goes away. But today, we are here because we have tasted of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we know this is it. Otherwise, you come in because of any other thing, you come in because of this and that, at the end you also leave because of this and that. So, that's why the Lord said one word, which is very important. It's also in chapter 6 of John. In chapter 6. Verse 65, and he says, therefore I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. That's the only way the Lord would attract people. The Lord immediately will know if anybody stays, it's because the Father drew him, not because of any other reason. Right.
if people come to the church, it's not because, oh, here's a bunch of rich guys, no. Or I don't want to be here because here's a bunch of poor guys, no. or we'll kill you in the church because of this and that reason. No, we don't have to attract anybody with any kind of a sweetness. Don't try to be sweet. That's why you come to the church. I'm not sweet to you. I'm not sweet to anyone. I don't want to be sweet. Did I try to be extra sweet to you? No. I'm not even here to be sweet to you, right? But we should learn to say, no one comes into the church love except my Father draws him.
Yeah.
I can only share the truth with you. I don't want to attract you in any other means. No, no, the truth. If you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine. And if you are attracted by the truth and by the Lord Jesus, praise the Lord, you come. You will not be cast away or leave because of any other reason. No. I came to the church now because I saw this is the truth, this is God's way.
Amen.
That's the only reason I'm here. That's why I'm still here.
Praise
That's why I'm still here. Doesn't matter what people do, what people say, I'm still here because, hey, I'm here, not because of anybody. So, here, you can really see the Lord, he really doesn't. There's no other factors in him. So, he said here, no one comes here. Therefore I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Wow, what a pure motive right there. What a pure motive right there. This is so wonderful, so great.
Amen.
Otherwise, oh, to attract people, let's do something sweet. Let's have an ESL class. Or let's help somebody get his license. Or let's, all this, we do a lot of sweet things to attract people. And then one day it turns sour. What's going to happen? The sweetness turns sour. What's going to happen? You still No need. No need of that. This is the fine humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one is like him. No one is like him. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Right? If we see this and we enjoy such a fine humanity of the Lord Jesus, that's it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what we need. And we just sang a song concerning the acacia wood. This is a wood used to build the tabernacles, overlaid with gold. This is the incorruptible wood. No worms. It is incorruptible. This is a picture of the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only kind of wood that can be overlaid with gold. And in the long run, that wood can stand. Otherwise, it'll collapse. The wood that we use here in California, oh my, the termites love it. It's really a feast for the termites. And so our fallen humanity is really a feast for somebody who loves to eat the fallen flesh. And we feed them all the time. The more fleshly we become, the more juicy it is for him. But if we have the humanity of the Lord Jesus, if they come and get a bite at you, they'll break their teeth. Praise the Lord. Only the humanity of our Lord could withstand all of this. And this is food for us. Praise God.
Amen.
Really thank the Lord.
Amen.
Right. Of course, we cannot get into details, and that's not a whole point, is not to get into the details, but to help all of you to see there is such a food for you to eat.
Amen.
These are food for a priest.
Amen.
And this food is called the most holy.
Right.
And it will make you holy. You eat this food, it's going to change your humanity. You will learn to live by another life. And by this life, the church can be built up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
this
Lord.
Is what we desperately need.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.